Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When the first Christian missionaries came to Alberta, Canada, they were violently opposed by Maskipatoon, who was the young chief of the Cree tribe. Over time, he eventually became a Christian, and shortly after, a member of the Blackfoot tribe killed his father. Maskipatoon rode into the village where the murderer lived and demanded that he be brought before him. And confronting the guilty man, he said, "You have killed my father, so now you must be my father. You shall ride my best horse and wear my best clothes. Tell your people that this is the way Maskipatoon takes revenge." And in amazement and remorse, his enemy exclaimed, "My son, now you have killed me." What he meant to say was that the hate in his own heart had become overcome by the forgiveness and kindness of this Cree chief. His father's murderer continued, "Never in the history of my people has such a thing like this been known. My people and all men will say, 'The young chief is brave and strong and good. He stands alone.'" Today's epistle lesson speaks to this forgiveness that has such revolutionary power. Through our acts of forgiveness and love, God can alter and heal relationships. And as followers of Jesus Christ, each one of us possesses this costly, profound, and revolutionary power. Listen again to this portion of the epistle reading. "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. And if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Forgiveness, though, it's tough, even for us, for Christians. To forgive means that we have to absorb the pain of an offense, and that hurts. So often we prefer to live in anger and bitterness because these seem to soothe the pain and the offense for a while. And when the pain is acute, it's actually easier mentally and emotionally to remain angry because then it can focus us like nothing else in life. Or at least that's the way we think. But there is a price to pay when we refuse to forgive someone. Ted Kober says that unforgiveness is the poison that we drink thinking that it will kill the other person. And it's also been said that true forgiveness is hard because it demands that we let go of something that we value very much, our pride. It's humbling to forgive, and that is not easy. Because to forgive means to say, "Whatever it is that you've done or said has truly and deeply hurt me, but even though I still feel the pain of what you've done, I choose not to hold it against you anymore. From my perspective, you've earned and deserve my anger, but instead, I choose to forgive." A Sunday school teacher had been teaching a lesson about God's grace, and wanting to make sure that she had clearly made her point, she said, "Who can tell me what you must do before God will forgive your sin?" And there was a short pause, and a small boy said, "Sin." That easy. Being fellow human beings, we all have a lot in common. We all need to eat, we all need shelter, we all need clothing, we all need to give and receive love, and probably above all, we are good at sinning. As God says through St. Paul in Romans, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Rabbi David A. Nelson tells the story of two brothers who went to their rabbi to settle a long-standing dispute. The rabbi got the two to reconcile and shake hands, and as they were about to leave, he asked each one to make a wish for the other in honor of the Jewish New Year. So the first brother turned to the other and said, "I wish for you what you wish for me." The first brother turned, and the second brother threw up his arms and said, "Rabbi, he's doing it again." We all sin, and as followers of Jesus Christ, you have been, and I have been, forgiven of every sin we've ever imagined or committed or will imagine or commit. But in some way, we always justify our unforgiving attitude by saying, "That's God forgiving me. I'm certainly not expected to forgive like God forgives." Well, you'd be wrong, because apparently Jesus knew that we would have this objection. Matthew records Jesus saying, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So if we take God as his word, which as Lutherans we do, that can be a bit disturbing. But they echo the words that we pray so often, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." So that means that forgiveness is not an option for us. It's forgiveness is essential. It's essential to building the community of faith, and unforgiveness tears down a faith community. Forgiveness isn't some kind of add-on that we can ignore if we want to. It's at the very heart of our faith, and it's at the very heart of our relationship with God, because that's why God came to us in Jesus Christ. Our community of faith can only be healthy if we trust God's word, even if that takes us to places that are difficult to go. In fact, Jesus' words make a point that our forgiveness of others is evidence that we understand how much we've been forgiven by God. Well, I mentioned earlier that there is revolutionary power in forgiveness. Forgiveness builds powerful relationships. Our relationship with God is only possible because he came and forgave our sin. And our relationship with each other and with others can only be strong and thrive when together we value the importance of forgiveness. You see, husbands, you know this, forgiveness gives us the freedom to not be perfect. When forgiveness lives in a relationship, you know that you can make mistakes and have misunderstandings without it tearing you apart. When forgiveness doesn't exist, the relationship will always remain tense and superficial. You'll be walking on eggshells. But that's the power of forgiveness. Another part of the power of forgiveness is that it gives us the power to be free of the past. In his book, Lee, The Last Years, Charles Flood writes about an incident that took place after the American Civil War. Robert E. Lee's son, who himself was a brigadier general, was visiting a woman in Kentucky. She took him to the remains of an old tree in front of her house, and she stood there and wept, crying bitterly and complaining about how the Northern artillery fire had killed that grand symbol of her family. And she looked to Lee, expecting him to share in her bitterness and condemn the North. But after a short silence, Lee said, "Cut it down, dear madam, and forget it. It's better to forgive the injustices of the past than allow them to fester and poison the rest of our life." As sinners, we like to nurse our grudges. And sometimes, truly, we have been victimized. And when that happens, it's very easy to dwell on that hurt, maybe even dream up revenge scenarios. And yet, if we get stuck in that anger and bitterness, who's the one who suffers? We do. I know we've all heard the saying, forgive and forget. And the truth is, forgive and forget is a myth. And it's really awful advice. As human beings, we simply cannot forget every past hurt. But God teaches us how to live through those hurts. God forgives our sins and then chooses to forget them. taking them as far away as the east is from the west. And that's what he asks us to do. When we've been hurt, he calls us to forgive and daily choose to walk in that forgiveness. We may not be able to completely forget the hurt like God can, but we can choose not to let it dominate our lives. Now, forgiveness ought not abandon common sense, for instance. We're not called to stay in an abusive relationship or place ourselves in harm's way by staying close to someone who has proven again and again that they are untrustworthy. But we can forgive a person, any person, releasing them and us of the guilt of what they've done, and at the same time put up firm boundaries around that relationship. When you do this, the abusive person may accuse you of not forgiving them, but nowhere in Scripture are we called to live the life of a victim, allowing someone to keep hurting us. We can still choose to forgive and not allow ourselves to be abused, but this is the power of forgiveness. And it enables us to move forward, to live a life that's not strangled by the past. Jesus wants us to live an abundant life. An abundant life happens when we let go of the past. Ravensbrück was a concentration camp built in 1939 on a small lake opposite the city of Fürstenberg, 56 miles north of Berlin. It was built to house women, most of whom were part of the resistance efforts of the Dutch, French, and many other countries who took a stand against the Nazis. Christian author Corrie Ten Boom was a prisoner at Ravensbrück, and her sister Betsy died there shortly before the end of the war. It is of special importance because of the collective courage of these women who united against fascism and racism. Over 90,000 women and children perished in the Ravensbrück camp, and little, if anything, is written about them. But there is at least one thing we have left from Ravensbrück. It's a prayer written on a tattered and worn sheet of paper found in the clothing of a child who died there. Lord, remember not only the men and women of goodwill, but also of ill will, but do not remember all of the suffering they have inflicted upon us. Instead, remember the fruits we have borne because of this suffering. Our fellowship, our loyalty to one another, our humility, our courage, our generosity, the greatness of heart that has grown from this trouble. And when our persecutors come to be judged by you, let all of these fruits that we have borne be their forgiveness. That is powerful forgiveness. Forgiveness that bore the fruit of our forgiveness when God in Christ delivered us through the shedding of his very own son's blood and his death. And now, because we have been forgiven, we are given the privilege to live and share that powerful forgiveness to those around us, showing in them that the power of God at work in us as we live out our lives this side of heaven. Amen.